He's going to share some things with us tonight about prayer and the purpose of it. And I'm reminded of George Mueller. Many years ago, George Mueller, he was a praying man. If you've ever read any books, many times he was running orphanages and they were out of food and milk and different things. And God miraculously met those needs. Anyway, I recall a story where he was praying for five gentlemen. And in the first 5 years, one of those gentlemen received Christ. And he kept praying and kept praying. And 10 years later, another guy received Christ. And about 25 years later, I think two of them received Christ. I might have the 10 and the 25 backwards. But then he passed away. And shortly after that, the last guy received Christ. He had prayed for him 52 years. He didn't give up. He prayed without ceasing because it was important. I know I could ask a show of hands for those who don't pray enough. I'd raise mine first, don't raise yours. But the fact is, we really don't pray enough, do we? And, you know, that's when we're talking to God. And, of course, God already knows everything that you have need of. He knows where you're at, what you're doing, what you're going to do tomorrow, all those things. But yet He still wants to hear from us. Why do you think God wants to hear from us? Any ideas? Nobody has? Oh, you do. That's right. It's our communication, isn't it, with God. Think about if your spouse never talked to you. Now, some of you may say, well, he doesn't or she doesn't. But the fact is, there is some communication there. And that's what God expects from us, is for us to communicate with Him. Even though He knows everything and He knows what we have need of, He still wants us to ask. And what that demonstrates is the communication, the fellowship, but it demonstrates a dependence, that you really know you're dependent on God, and He knows that you know. And so it's important for us to learn that. That's why I want to encourage you to pray when you go on trips, to pray when you lose things, pray for anything and everything. Bring it to God first. Bring it to God first. And He will show Himself mighty in your life. Well, let's begin reading chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to read down through verse 8 tonight and just look at this for a few minutes. Paul writes, he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank You for these words tonight. We're reminded these words come from the Almighty God, the One that loves us and cares for us, the One that knows that we have a need, and You met that need through the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight we come to You and we look to You that You might help us by opening our eyes, our ears, our hearts, that we might respond accordingly. Now, Father, I just pray that You'd have Your will and way tonight, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So he talks about the priority of prayer, and that's what we're looking at. He said, first of all, and he gave us a list here, and really, when he says first of all, there goes the glasses, he indicates that prayers are important. When we are gathered together, we lift up our voice tonight. We call this our Bible study and prayer time. And I don't, and I hope this church never stops praying on Wednesday nights collectively, because this is an opportunity for us to come. And when we come and pray, what we do in our prayer bulletin, if you will, is we have every single member listed in the prayer bulletin. We pray for those folks. So at least once a week, the folks that come on Wednesday night are praying for you. And that's something we need. I need it. And I can't tell you how many people at the school, the churches I went to, relatives I met told me they were praying for me. And I told every one of them, charge! Sorry, guys. Need to turn that thing off. But, and I told every one of them, I says, well, your prayers made a difference. And they do. And so, we'll wait another second. Maybe it'll quit. My phone. It's in the office. If it starts again, it might. So it's important to pray. And often it's the best way that we have to influence people for God is to intercede with God for those people. You know, and we mention their names, we pray for them earnestly, and we pray that God would give us opportunities, and God would soften their hearts, and that God would help us to be able to... Is that the phone? Okay, good. Okay. And so it's important. I think I want to get through this message tonight, okay? So somebody go tear those things out of the wall. Okay. So really, and it helps us. And you know, I've read before, a church stays on its feet when its members get on their knees. Now think about that. It's true, isn't it? I believe that. And so we all need to be prepared to pray. You can tell I'm having a hard time, huh? James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of righteous men availeth much, the Bible teaches us in James. And so we are to do that. We should take care of all unconfessed sin. When we have unconfessed sin in our lives, do we have a communication line with God? No, we don't. We lose that, don't we? According to the scriptures. And so that's what God wants us to be close to Him. And to be close to Him is confessing those sins and getting those right. Isaiah 59:2, He says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. He didn't say, I hid my face from you. He said, your sins hid my face from you. And that's what happens when we are living a life carelessly and walking in a way that's not pleasing to God. You know, someone once said that prayer is like asking for rain, and faith is carrying the umbrella when you walk out the door. You know, and so it's true. We can pray, and God will answer those prayers, and we need to have the faith that He will. So He tells us here in the practice of prayer, He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, and there's a list here, and this is really a penitent appeal for God's mercy, making a request for a specific need. Today we have requests for specific needs in our prayer bulletin. We have and should be on our knees praying for this country, specifically for our president, for those in authority, our local government, our community, to those people you know and that you rub shoulders with. We ought to pray for those people. If we want to have an inroad, we need to be praying for them and asking God to open the door so we may have that. And so Paul is writing, says, pray for specific needs, request. And if it doesn't happen, we see that families are destroyed, families are scattered. Deuteronomy 28:6-4 says, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And that's what happens. You know, when we look at things and we look at how bad the world is, and it's easy to say the world's bad. And we know that you read the Bible and you know it's going that direction, but we have cause that to accelerate. You say, how do we have any part in that? Because we're not doing the things that Christ has asked us to do. Our focus point is not eat, drink, and be merry and get by each day and get through each day. Our focus ought to be making intercession, ought to be witnessing, living the life that God's called us to live. I know that as I've been reflecting on some of these things lately, there's a lot of things that I let my time or lend my time to that are not really the things God wants me to do. There are a lot of things I have that God would probably not be pleased with. You say, how can you say that? Well, I believe God gives us the things we need, the tools that we need for one purpose. I mean, yes, there's pleasure in some of those things, but it's an opportunity to be able to use those things to be a witness to others, to be able to share. Why do I got a shovel? So you can loan it to somebody who's unsaved and maybe be a witness. Lots of reasons. And so we see that he's talking about supplications. Today we live in societies where people are hurting all over. And we see, even in our little town of 600 or 700 people, as John mentioned, there are families that are dysfunctional. There are families that are broken up. I don't know how they do it. I really don't. And a lot of times they don't. We wonder why the suicides are high, why there's so much drugs running out and about and all these things and alcohol and all these things. And it's because our society has really, we as Christians have had our hand in letting this happen. Now, I'm not putting blame on everybody in this room. I'm just saying, in generally, Christianity in America is weak. Go live in China and be a Christian. Find out what it's really about. That's persecution. We get baptized today, and it's nothing. In fact, we baptize people who aren't saved all the time in a lot of churches. But you go get baptized in a place like China or one of the Arab countries, you're going to lose your family, number one, and number two, you could lose your life. It's serious. It's different. But then he tells us not only supplications, but he says prayers. And since this speaks of worshiping God through direct communication, it's an attitude of total dependence on God. It's for His glory and His will. I'm not going to turn there, but if you want to on your own, 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 15 through 19, is a prayer that Hezekiah mentioned. And you can see how he is speaking to the Lord there. Next, he says intercessions. And again, this is praying for others, specific prayer requests. Jesus did this when he prayed for Peter in Luke chapter 22. He says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengtheneth thy brothers. Now notice he said, when thou art converted, just as a side point. He wasn't saved at this particular point as far as salvation. Why? Because Christ hadn't went to the cross yet. So, but anyway, in Romans 8:34 tells us, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christ today is making intercession for us. And I wouldn't be surprised if he was saying each individual by name or calling them by name. You know, he knows every hair on my head. My name is no big deal, right? But he also talks about where to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, and everything we give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we do this, we thank God for his goodness to us. And I'll tell you, God is good. He is good all the time. No matter what you're going through, no matter what situation, you think, wow, I'm really tired. You know what? God is good. I'm sick. God is good. I got a flat tire. God is good. My window comes down and won't go back up. God is good. He's good all the time. We thank God for those he has placed in authority over us. That particular boss that maybe it's hard to get along with you. God knows what you need. So you might think that boss is unreasonable. And God's saying, I'm trying to work on you to grow you. You got the problem here. So we need to be understanding of what God's will is. We thank God for all his provisions for us and the things he gives to us. We thank him for his son who died for us. And what is the purpose of all this as Paul is writing to Timothy? He says in verse 2, he says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so here we see that he's talking about for everybody. He said for all men in the last verse, the last part of verse 1, because God cares for everybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And so he wants us who know the God of the Bible, who have a relationship with Jesus, to be able to share it with others. That is the most important thing in this life that we're called to do. And it's not just do it by the words we speak, but it's also the life we live. It's a package deal. And it all goes together, or should. And that's the problem. Some of us unwrapped the package and we only got parts of it. We need it all. Reminds me of a card game we used to play called 52 Pickup. Anybody ever played that? I hate that game. I play it now whenever the kids come over. So anyway, but how they get out of the box. Well, that's kind of the way we are sometimes. So we pray for those people who are in authority. We pray for those that we know that we can maybe have an influence on, especially. And why? Because what they do affects our lives, does it not? The people that we work for, how we respond to them and how we obey and do the things we're supposed to do, it does make a difference on how we get along with them. I don't know if you've ever had a really a guy who didn't like you or a lady that you had to work under. And they gave you all the jobs that nobody else had to do. You know, that's hard. That's the time you need to get on your knees and say, dear God, please help me. Help this guy or whatever. And help teach me what you're trying to teach me so I don't have to clean the toilets every single day or whatever it is you have to do. But so it affects our lives. And when he talks about peaceful, it refers to the calm attitude within us. And, of course, the results to that are we're able to live that godly life that God has called us. When we pray for those people and God uses us in that situation, he helps us that we may have a life that is quiet and peaceable. And he talks about a life in all godliness and honesty, being truthful with the things that we're doing. I don't know about you, but most of the time you go to a place to work, what it is you go in there and especially young people, they come to the workplace. I don't know what young people are doing today, but when I was a young person, you went to the job and you did everything you could to please the boss. Now, some people's motive is that I don't want the boss to think evil of me, and that's not, or bad of me, that's not bad. And then some others, it's I just want to do a good job and learn and do all I can. And you make everybody else mad at you because you're doing all this and the boss is saying, boy, I really, if I had 10 more like him, that'd be pretty good, you know? And the fact of the matter is it happens that as a Christian, that's the way we ought to be all the time. But sometimes we learn the ropes and we find out when we have to work hard and when we don't. Like when the boss is around, I got a broom in my hand. It needs to be moving. But when he walks off, I can rest on that thing for a while, you know? I mean, there are a lot of people like that. But that's not what God wants in our lives. He wants us to learn how to live and be honest. You're on the clock. You're to do the job. And you're there. You do what you're supposed to do. And, of course, if your boss says you can take a break or rest on the broom, that's fine. You do that. But he also talks about in verse 4, or he said in verse 3, for this is good. That word good is used in many places, 23 times in 1 Timothy. You'll see it over and over as we go through it. And acceptable. This is what God is pleased with. This is the will of God. And this is another way to say that. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And so that's what we want. We want the will of God. Now, when we're in the will of God and we're doing and serving Him like we should, verse 4 is something that is going to happen Maybe not every single day, obviously, and not all the time, but it will happen. It's about fruit. The fruit. We were talking about this on the car. If a Christian is saved and doesn't bear fruit, the Bible says that he's probably not saved. A good tree bears what? Fruit. And a bad tree bears no good fruit, bad fruit. And so here he's saying that in verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. So why do we pray for these things? Why do we live this life that's honest under the authority that we're placed under? It's because we have the opportunity to be a testimony of what God can do in a person's life. We're not like everybody else. We don't need to be complaining and be mealy-mouthed about things, but we just need to be honest and do the job and do what we're supposed to do. And praise God when you get the bad job. Praise God when things don't go right. Don't be cursing and shouting and carrying on. Why? Because that's the world's response. That's not ours, or shouldn't be. And if you do mess up, what are you supposed to do with that? Yeah, who do you ask forgiveness from? That's right. So if you happen to work somewhere and you had four or five people around you and you, the boss came and started maybe even cussing at you or whatever, don't respond in kind. But if you do, do what the Bible teaches and you still have the opportunity to make a difference. But if you do like everybody else does and walks away mumbling and grumbling and all mad and never goes back and repents of that, you're not going to have any effect or any influence in that problem. Influence. So God wants you to do it His way, not our way. And that's kind of what Paul is trying to teach Timothy. In verse 6, he goes on, he talks about, verse 5, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So he tells us who we're to pray to. Number one, as Brandy said, go to God first. Who do we do that and how do we do that? We go through Jesus, do we not? Is that who we're supposed to pray through? It's absolutely. He's the mediator. It's not the Pope. It's not the pastor. It's not the priest. It's Jesus Christ. And when you think about that, in times, some people will pray, and they'll pray, but they'll not mention the name of Jesus at all. Well, I think the Bible clearly teaches us when we're praying, we ought to pray in the name of Jesus. There's where the power of prayer comes from. And it's really what the Bible teaches in Peter's first sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When the lame man was healed in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There's where the power is, in the name of Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 13 says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, this is Jesus speaking, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So by implication, whatsoever ye shall ask in anything else, I won't do. It's kind of what he's saying. Colossians 3:17, Paul writes, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And when you go on down, you see verse 7, Paul talks about himself. He says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. So he's just saying, reminding Timothy here, that he too, or Paul himself, was ordained a preacher and apostle. And of course, this happened on the road to Damascus when he was saved and the Lord Jesus Christ taught him and spoke to him. And he's telling him, I'm not telling you anything that's wrong here. This is all the truth. In verse 8, he says, and I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. So he's talking about lifting up holy hands in this prayer. It speaks of a holy life. It's coming with the communication line open. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It's without wrath, and it's without sin in our lives. It's coming to God openly, knowing that He knows the answers, even though I do not. And I cannot tell you, and I can't stress this enough, how many times I've seen God answer prayers, and the answers have not always been yes. They're not always yes. And that's okay, because that too is the will of God. So we look to Him and we trust Him because He knows best. He knows what you're going to run into the next couple steps you take down the road. He can see that. You can't. And He knows exactly where you should be and what you should be doing. So as Paul is trying to teach Timothy, it's the same thing for all of us. That as we do this, we don't ask in a way that is doubting. When you ask a prayer and you're sincere about it, let's trust God that He's going to answer that. Maybe not the way I want it, but we can trust Him that He will answer. And He may not answer right away, because He teaches us that we're to wait upon the Lord, right? And that means that His timing is perfect. Becky, can I use you for an illustration? Can I really? Okay. She had a hard time when we were leaving, every time we left somewhere, I think. But it's not her fault, by the way. But anyway, and of course, God knows the situations. We were at the wedding, and the wedding was over. We're cleaning up. Becky had her phone right on the bed where it should be. And I didn't put it in the bag, but my wife probably did. We don't know who did. But anyway, we put everything in the trailer, and about time to go, Becky says, where's my phone? It was on the bed. And I said, wow, I don't know. Let's look around. Everybody looked around and stuff, couldn't find it. We prayed. I prayed. I went into the bedroom and sat down on the bed and said, Dear Lord, probably sat right where the phone was at one time. Dear Lord, would you please help us find the phone? And so we left and we said, well, you know what? We're going to go. If somebody finds it, they'll probably send it to us. And we're just, you know, whatever. So we got going down the road, and then she had another mishap. We won't discuss that too much right now. But anyway, we got home. And sure enough, when she emptied her stuff out, there it was. So that was a wonderful thing, since those things cost $600 or $700 these days. But I just know God knows. And the other situation, I think it'll clear itself up too, maybe in a little longer time. But we'll see how that goes. But let's just realize that prayer is the power we have when we're communicating with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be in the right position to pray. It's not the lifting up of the hands that matters, it's the heart. It's not the knees that matter, it's the heart. It's a humbleness of heart. That's what we need. And when we do that, God will show Himself mighty. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says that it's God that does the impossible. And you know, He loves that. When things are tough, He loves that. Because if you can get yourself out of it, He really doesn't have to. But when it gets tough, He loves to show Himself powerful. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank You for the Word of God tonight. We thank You for Your love. And we do thank You for how You answer prayer and how You give us the words that help us to realize that You are a loving God. You do care for us. And You've, as Paul was writing to Timothy and trying to teach him, we can take heed to these words as well. Now, Father, I pray You go with us and bring us back again at the next appointed hour, and that You continue to guide and direct in each one of our lives as we look to You and trust You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.